Look at Romans 10, verse 14. Romans 10, and everybody please look at verse number 14. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet. Say that phrase with me. How beautiful are the feet. Notice how beautiful are the feet of them that preach or proclaim the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You know, our feet are what carry us places, correct? God says you have beautiful feet if you're carrying the good news of peace, the good news of Christ to the people that need it. The Bible says you have beautiful feet. Now, you know, some of us in here, maybe we don't have beautiful physical feet. Maybe you've got corns on your feet. Look, folks, I don't have beautiful feet. I'm just going to tell you. I've got very dry feet. And whenever I put my feet on my wife, like if we're on the couch, she'll go, ooh, that's like sandpaper. And so she does not care for my feet. And in fact, one time I was at a pastoral retreat. Remember that, Rob? And I'm at a pastoral retreat and I'm sitting on the couch and I got my feet up on a table and the sun's coming through the window and I kind of rubbed my feet together. It was like I was sending up a smoke signal off my feet, you know. They all laughed and made fun of me the whole rest of the trip because of my feet. When I got back to the office 2 days later, I had foot ointment in my box, you know, at the church from one of the smart alecks on the staff that told me to put some foot ointment on those feet. But yeah, I don't have beautiful feet physically, but aren't you glad to know you don't have to have beautiful physical feet for God to think you have beautiful feet? You know, if you're taking the gospel to your neighbor, your coworkers, your relatives, your friends, you know what? God says you got beautiful feet. Think about it. The gospel of peace. What is that? The gospel of peace means that I can be made at peace with God. Even though I'm a sinner and I've sinned against God, even though the wages of sin is what? Death, and I deserve to be separated from God forever in the lake of fire. I can be saved from the wrath of God. Why? Because Jesus Christ paid my sin debt for me. He paid my death that I deserve to pay. He paid that death, that sin debt, for me. And now salvation can come to me from the penalty of my sin. Salvation from the penalty of my sin comes instantly the moment that I trust Jesus Christ to be my Savior. That means I can put my faith in Christ, and at that very moment that I trust Jesus, I receive eternal life in heaven. I have forgiveness of my sins. The Bible says I'm justified by faith, and I have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you agree with me, church? That's good news. Man, that is great news, isn't it? So no wonder the Bible says when you take that news to people, God says you have beautiful feet. How many Christians should be proclaiming Christ to others? All. That means if we have 1,000 people here this morning, how many preachers should we have? 1,000. Right, 1,000 preachers. Because preach just means proclaim. Preach doesn't mean you get behind a pulpit and give a Bible message. The word preach means proclaim. And that means we're to have, if we got 1,000 people here that know the Lord today, we should have 1,000 proclaimers. 1,000 people with beautiful feet. Why? Why is it so crucial that we have beautiful feet? Why is it so important that we strive to have beautiful feet? Well, last week I only got through one point, and it's in your handout. I filled it out there for you this morning so you'd already have it. Number one, we said that if you're saved, it should be a natural desire. Verse 1, Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That should be a natural desire. But number 2, let me give you the second point. We should strive to have beautiful feet, we see here in Romans 10, because many have no knowledge of God. You should want to have beautiful feet. Why? Because many have no knowledge of God. What a description of the nations of this world in verses 2 and 3. Look at it with me. Verses 2 and 3. It says, For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That aptly describes the lost condition of most of the world. Look, folks, listen. People know there's a God. Unless people are taught and instructed, there's no God. People are born with an innate knowledge and an understanding that there's a God, there's a creator. People know that. Most people in the world, I think about 98, 99% of the world believes there's a God. But religion has a million different ways that you try and appease God and become acceptable to Him. There are many who even know of Jesus Christ, but they've not submitted to Him as the only way to obtain righteousness before God. And in fact, verse 4, he talks about that. Let's read on. Look at verse 4. He says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that worketh, that believeth." So the Bible, listen, God's call is simply to believe on Jesus. The Bible says Christ is the end. He's already, it's a completed work. It's done. It's finished. He's the end of the law for righteousness to all those that believe. God's call is for you to simply put your faith in Christ, to believe on Him. Look at verse 8. Everybody look down at verse 8. It says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee." Now look at this. The word, talk about the word of faith. "The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. Paul's saying it's not hard to be saved. It's not difficult. He's saying, look, the word is nigh thee. You simply, and he's going to go on, we're going to look in a moment, just simply trust Christ. Believe on Him. You know, it's just a matter of putting your faith in Him. Now, that's not what religion says, though. Religion says do. And religion keeps you on the treadmill of performance, never knowing for sure if you've done enough. And that's what he's talking about. Many people have a religious zeal. They're sincere. But their efforts are based upon ignorance, not knowledge. Look down at verse 3 again. And I want you to underline a couple words here. Look at verse 3. It says, "For they have a zeal for God," verse 2. But there's a problem about their zeal for God. Look at verse 3. "For they being," and what's that next word? Key word, ignorant. "For they're ignorant of God's righteousness." In other words, they're ignorant of God's way to obtain righteousness before God. They're ignorant of that way, which of course is Christ. They're ignorant of that. But look at what it says. "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their," and that next word is another key word. They're trying to establish before God their what? Their own righteousness. "Have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God," which is, of course, Christ. They've not submitted themselves to Christ and just simply believed on Him. So imagine for a moment that that the front doors of the church are wide open. And imagine that they're propped open and you see someone running around the church building and they're doing laps. And they're running and they're checking a window and then they're running and they're checking another window and they're running around the building. And you stop them and you say, "Man, what are you doing?" And they say to you, "Trying to get in the church." What are you going to tell them? Go through the door. In fact, one of our staff members, Shannon Ann, he tried that recently. Look what happened. I don't get it, Shannon. The door, what's the problem? He's trying to get through a window and he's stuck, and right next to him is what? An open door. Come on, man. Him and Brian staged that for an illustration. That's a pretty good one. But you know what? Go back to the picture. I just want to make sure Shannon gets good and embarrassed. All right, so here he is. He's stuck in the window, and there's the open door. Now, that picture right there, I want you to get that painted on your mind, because that is the condition spiritually of most of the world today. They are going about trying to get into heaven. They're trying to get into, like he's trying to get into the church. They're trying to get into heaven, but they're trying to do it their way. Instead of going through the door. Can I ask you a question? Who's the door? Yeah. I want to show you. Can we go to the verse first and then we'll go back to the blank? Yeah, bring that up. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be what? Say it's simple. You just get into, you get there by, through the door. You go through the door. And he says, he shall go in and out and find pasture. You know, earlier in that chapter, he talks about how the thief tries to go through some other way. A thief tries to go in another way. A thief very rarely just wants to go through the door. He's going to try to climb in some other way. And he said, you know what? If you want to be with me, you're going to have to go through the door, and I'm the door. Religion, though, religion has this list of stuff. Man, it'll have you running around the building trying to get in a window when all the while the door is open. Christ has done it all. He's provided completely for your salvation. In your handout, it says, many are trying so hard to find God's acceptance and establish their own righteousness, but they have missed the door, Jesus Christ. They've missed the door. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Those of us who know Christ, we know what the door is, we know the peace he can give. We have a message to share with the world. Let's have beautiful feet and let's get it out. Number three, the third reason we need to get the message out, we need to have beautiful feet, is number three, because of the simplicity of the gospel. Bring it up on the screen there. Because of the simplicity of the gospel. So what are you talking about? Well, I want to challenge you guys to get your Bible, and we're going to start reading in verse 9. We're going to read a few verses, and I just want to challenge you. If you're trying, and some of you are daydreaming, you may not be thinking about this. You're thinking about football or what you're going to eat and all that. That doesn't count, all right? If you're really concentrating, I challenge you when we're done to say, well, I didn't understand that. All right, look at it, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what?
Saved.
Saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Amen.
Now I challenge you. Do we all understand that? That's pretty clear, isn't it? That if you will call on Jesus Christ, if you will believe in your heart that Christ is who he said he was, and that he is what the Bible declares. He is the Son of God. He is risen from the dead. He did die upon the cross, but he rose from the dead 3 days later. If you will believe that with your heart, and you will simply admit your need and just call upon him to save you, what will he do? He'll save you. Now, you know what? If it took a PhD to share the good news of Jesus Christ, you know what? Many of us would have an excuse not to share it, wouldn't we? If God said you got to have a high school diploma to share the gospel, you got to have a college degree to share the gospel, well, a lot of us would say, well, that leaves me out. But it doesn't. Nor does it take volumes of books that you got to carry under your arm in order to share. Aren't you glad you don't have to have volumes of books to share the gospel? Because, I mean, that would really inhibit us, wouldn't it? But you know what? I'm going to reach in my pocket right here, and I'm going to pull something out. You see? No, it's not money. One of the teenagers said money. No luck. No luck on that one. That's something better than money. Amen, church? That is a gospel track. And did you know that little thing right there that fit in my coat pocket? Did you know that thoroughly and completely gives the gospel of Jesus Christ to people? We have these available for free. You can take them and hand them out to people. We have other ones to choose from, but this is a really good one too. And it says, finding the way to a right relationship with God. And this little track right here that'll fit right in your pocket, probably take you about maybe 5 to 10 minutes to read it. That will completely and thoroughly give people the gospel of Christ to know how to be saved and how to go through the door, how to know Jesus. Aren't you thankful that we don't have to have, volumes of books in order to explain the gospel. I'm so thankful for the simplicity of the gospel. The gospel, you think about this. The Philippian jailer came and he knelt down before Paul and he said to Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And the apostle Paul looked at him and made one statement. What must I do to be saved? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Amen. You know what? He didn't say, "Well, you know what? I got an 8-week class you need to go through first." You know, "Well, we've got this 2-year Bible Institute. You get through that and then you can be saved." "Well, we got this list of stuff you got to do at church. And it's going to take you a good 3 to 4 weeks to get through the list. But when you've gone through the list and you've done all the rituals and all the things and all the expectations, then you know what? Then you might be saved." He didn't say that. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." The gospel of Christ is so simple that a doctor can understand it, but so can a child. Let me remind you, okay? Let me remind you that Jesus Christ did not say that a child has to become like an adult to be saved. He said the adult has to become like the child. How many of you got saved from 10 years old or under? How many of you got saved and accepted Christ 10 years old and under? Tons of hands. Tons of hands. Same thing in the 9:30 service, and I knew it would be. Because you know what? When you share the gospel with a child, they don't have a million reasons why to reject it, do they? They don't have the baggage. They don't have the addictions they're battling. They don't have the ungodly, satanic world system that's indoctrinated them yet. Yet. They don't have, "Oh, I want to hang on to this sin." And "I don't really know if Christ really was." No, man, you just share with a child the simple truths of the gospel and what Jesus Christ has done for them. And I've seen so many children just cry and they accept Jesus Christ. He didn't say that a child has to become like an adult. He took a child, set him in the midst of them, and he said, "You need to be like the child if you're going to enter into my kingdom." You see, the gospel is simple. Anybody can understand it. We need to proclaim the good news of Christ because of its simple, direct message. You can share it with people that you know that do not know Christ. By the way, how many of you know somebody, either a friend, a relative, a coworker, a neighbor? There's someone you know personally, but you have some doubts, or maybe you just flat out know that they're not saved. How many of you know at least someone like that? That's just not saved. They don't know the Lord. Okay. Most of the hands in here went up. Do you know who the best hope is for them getting saved? You. Say, "What do you mean?" Well, they did some research on this, and I'm going to read this to you. They asked believers, they surveyed believers, "How did you come to know Christ? What was the major influence that brought you to Christ?" Here was the answers. "A special need in my life that, maybe just a special need of some sort." 1 to 2% said that's what brought me to Christ. 2 to 3% said they just walked into a church. 5 to 6% said the pastor of a church influenced me for Christ. 5 to 6%. 1 to 2% said visitation. Somebody came by my home and led me to the Lord. 1 to 2%. Sunday school, the Sunday school program of the church, 4 to 5%. An evangelistic crusade or a TV show, 0.5%. A church program, kind of like Walk Through Bethlehem, 2 to 3%. You ready for this? How many said the major reason why I came to Christ was because of a friend or a relative? 75 to 90%. 75 to 90%. If I was to survey us this morning, what was the major influence in your life to bring you to Christ? Probably this congregation would show those stats to be true. We need to share Christ because of the simplicity of the gospel. Get out of your mind. Get out of your mind. Oh, you know what? I got this friend, this relative, and boy, they need to get saved, but I got to bring them to church because I got to have the professionals deal with them. No. No. You know what? You get a gospel tract, get read up, study. You know what? You lead them to Jesus Christ. Because you know what? A lot of times, like, oh, I've got this lost relative and I can't ever get him to go to church. Well, they're lost. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to go to church. That's the last thing on their minds, going to church. They don't want that. So you say, what's the answer? You know what? Give them the gospel. Keep witnessing to them. Share Christ with them. Lead them to the Lord in your living room, or lead them to the Lord in your front yard, or in their front yard, or in their garage. Lead them to Christ. And you know what? There's a better, you got a better chance of getting them to want to come to church. Amen. Once they get saved, they'll want to come. So the whole thing of, well, I got to get them to church, get them saved. Get that out of your mind. You are the one God wants to use to bring them to Christ. Number four, the last point is this. We need to strive to have beautiful feet because this time of grace could end soon. This time of grace could end soon. I want you to look with me at verse 15. Verse 15 in our text. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They got to hear the Bible. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, look at this, I will provoke you to jealousy, to my Israel. By them that are no people and by a foolish nation, I will anger you. Talking about the Gentiles is how Paul's applying this. Verse 20, but Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Talking about the Gentiles. Verse 21, but to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. If you look over at chapter 11 and you look down there at verse 25, he says, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now let me explain. Look up here. Israel was God's chosen people. Jesus Christ came to call them to repentance. That's what's going on in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's coming to call his people, Israel, to repentance. And he presented himself as their long-awaited Messiah. What does that mean? King. He said, I'm here. Your Messiah has shown up. And prophecy said that Israel, when they're converted to their Messiah, that the kingdom would come, and then they would go out as a kingdom of priests, and then they would be a blessing to all nations. They would disciple the nations. So God, listen, God's channel or vehicle for being able to reach out to the nations was the nation of Israel. They were to be the channel of blessing and knowledge to the nations. The problem is this. Israel rejected Christ. So what did God do? They said, we don't believe he's our Messiah. No king, no kingdom. So now what's going to happen? God raises up a separate apostle, distinct and separate from the 12, called the Apostle Paul. He reveals to him all the incredible truths of the cross work of Christ. You won't hear those declared until Paul. Peter preached it as something to be ashamed of. You took him and with wicked hands you slew him. And he preached Christ as he was the victim of you, Israel. Whereas Paul, God reveals to him all the truths of the cross and the blood atonement and what was accomplished on that cross for the whole world, not just for Israel. And Paul called it my gospel. He said, by revelation, Christ made known unto me the gospel that I preach. And Paul, it was made known to him, that good news that I talked about more extensively last Sunday. The gospel of Christ that we proclaim today was revealed and given to Paul by revelation of Jesus Christ. And God revealed to Paul that we're living in a grace period that was unprophesied. And that this grace period could end at any moment. Folks, listen to me. Paul expected that grace period to end in his lifetime. He thought it would end before he died. But it didn't. God has extended the grace period to this world for 2,000 years almost now. And folks, listen to me. That grace period, though, could end at any moment. A grace period doesn't last forever. Let me bring something up here. First let me give you a blank. It says in your handout, it says, after Christ returns in the heavens for believers, this time of grace will give way to a time of God's wrath on the earth. And please don't put your handout up yet. I've still got a ways to go here. All right, listen now. Not too long, but just stay with me a couple minutes. All right, now look, I want you to look up at the screen. Before you put your handout up, look up here. All right, now, look up here closely. Notice that blue parentheses right there. How many of y'all see the blue parentheses? Say amen. You see that? That's where you're at right now. That's where you're living. You are living in a time of grace that was unprophesied. That's why Paul called it the mystery. He said it was hidden in God from the foundation of the world. It was not made known. And so you're living in a time of grace, a grace period in which, listen, the wrath of God is coming to this earth, to the nations of this earth. We deserve it. Listen to this. The Gentiles forsook Jesus Christ. They didn't want anything to do with him. They crucified him. And they were given up to reprobate mind long ago. Israel then took their Messiah. God's own people took the Messiah, crucified him, said, we don't want him. What was prophesied is when this happened, is that the wrath of God would then come upon his enemies. That there would be a period of wrath. There would be a week of years, 7 years, in which God's wrath would be poured out upon this world. And it would conclude and it would climax with Jesus Christ coming down at the revelation. And he would make war with his enemies and make them his footstool. And he would come and reign as Messiah, as King over all the earth. That wrath of God was deserved after the cross and after the rejection of the Holy Spirit. God's wrath, it was prophesied. I could show you the verses in the Old Testament where the wrath of God was supposed to come to this earth, but it did not come. God revealed, I'm delaying my wrath, and I'm going to give the world a grace period in which all my enemies in the world can be made at peace with me through the blood work, the cross work of my Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm offering peace to all my enemies in the world. And I'm giving the world a grace period in which to turn to me and be saved. Now, let me ask you a question. Does that mean the wrath isn't coming? If you're FPL, Florida Power and Life, your light bill's due on the 1st and you don't pay it, they give you a grace period, say, to the 15th. And you think, oh, wow, this grace period's great. You know what? I think I'll just go ahead and not pay it. And I just believe this grace period is going to continue. And you don't pay your bill. All right. Guess what you're going to be doing? Sitting in the dark. They've given you a grace period. Is the bill due? When was it due? It was due on the 1st. But they gave you a grace period to the 15th. But if you presume you're going to have to the 16th, you're going to be sitting in the dark. There are people, listen, who are living in this grace period. They think they've got tomorrow. They think they got next week. They think, oh, I'll get saved next year. This grace period could end at any moment. And when it ends right here, an event called the rapture, that's when, you know what, think about this. What do countries do with their ambassadors right before they're about to declare and make war on a nation? They recall their ambassadors, right? They bring them home. When they know that the wrath's coming, that the war's coming, they recall their ambassadors. You know what we are as believers? We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Before he makes war on this earth, he'll recall his ambassadors out of it. And he's going to recall his ambassadors up in an event we call the rapture. And everybody who knows Christ as ambassadors will be called up. We'll meet the Lord in the air, and then the wrath is coming. The bill has been due since here. God's given an extensive grace period, but the bill for this world's sin has been due. God in His grace has given this grace period. He's delayed His wrath, but when this happens, the wrath is coming. And you don't want to be here when that happens. You don't want to be here when the wrath comes from God. You want to be part of that group that goes up to meet the Lord in the air. And this time of grace could end at any moment. At any moment. At any moment. You say, well, I'll wait and get saved next Sunday. What if we're all gone next Sunday? What if we're gone? What if the grace period ends before tomorrow or next Sunday? You see, and apply this to Christians. Christian, you need to be actively engaged in using whatever means you can to proclaim the gospel of Christ, because you don't know how much longer this dispensation of grace is going to last. You don't know how much longer God's going to dispense His grace to a world that deserves wrath. You don't know how much longer. You don't know when the bill is going to be called in. And God says, the bill's been due, I'm calling it in now. And the wrath comes. You don't know when that's going to happen. Now is the time to witness to your friends. Now is the time to witness to your loved ones. Now is the time to give to missions. Now is the time to pray fervently for missionaries. Now is the time to have beautiful feet. Now is the time. We live in a time period of wrath delayed, but it won't be forever. I want to encourage you to do this. Remember that little track I showed you earlier? We've got these available along with some other ones out there in the foyer. Is there still more out there? We filled it? Good. Huh? Okay. All right. We'll check it. But there should be some out there. And these little tracks right here, I want to encourage you to do something. Before you leave today, if you don't already have one, pick one up. And tonight, before you go to bed, take your shoes off. Y'all don't sleep with your shoes on, do you? I don't. And I want you to take your shoes off. And I want you to take that gospel track, and I want you to put it there in your shoe. Why? Because tomorrow morning, when you wake up, you know what that gospel track's going to remind you to have tomorrow? Beautiful feet. That's going to remind you, you know what? I need to have beautiful feet. I need to take the good news of Jesus Christ and give that away to somebody tomorrow. Just give it to somebody at work. Say, hey, I got some good news for you. And then they may have a question. You might be able to have a conversation with them and lead them to Christ. Maybe you've got a loved one that you know you've should be witnessing to. They don't even live here in town. Write a letter to them tomorrow. Put a gospel track in there. That's a way to have beautiful feet. Let them know you care about their soul. Let's have beautiful feet. Let's pray.